Let's talk about where we're going in the church. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to talk about the last in our series on You Asked For It. Many of you know that during the summertime, I like doing a series entitled You Asked For It, because what it does, it allows me to figure out where you guys are thinking, what are some issues you might be dealing with, and also answer some questions that you might have in the spiritual realm, in the religious realm. And so the last one came in, and it was not on the bulletin board, and the reason why is because it was the last one, came in about 2 or 3 weeks after the deadline, but we can still preach about it. The question is, if a person has a sincere conversion and are now embroiled in sin, that I should be moved over a little bit and you have an end there, can they lose their salvation? That is a question that we have been wrestling with since the time of Jesus. Can you lose your salvation or not? If you're, can you be saved and yet continue in sin, in a life of sin? Can you continue to live in a way that's contrary to what God has established and call yourself a Christian? And it really boils down to the whole Calvinism versus Arminian debate. Those are, I know, we got a bunch of Calvinists back here, and they're going to be watching me the whole time. But it really boils down to that. Okay, Arminian, in the Wesleyan Arminian, the churches of God are primarily Wesleyan. They believe that a person can be genuinely saved and can eventually walk away from God. God will never walk away from you, but you can walk away from Him. In the Calvinist area, basically, the whole tulip, everything, that's another sermon in and of itself. They come back and say, you have never been saved to begin with, because somebody who is genuinely saved cannot lose their salvation. And they would say something to the effect of, well, the person who walks away from God really wasn't saved to begin with. Some of the denomination that holds more to the Calvinistic would be Presbyterian, would be Baptist. A lot of the Baptists, a lot of the Arminian would be like the Churches of God, the Methodists, the Wesleyans, and those types of denominations. United Brethren, where I came from. Okay, so we have to ask ourselves this question: can you lose? Can you lose your salvation? Well, before we get to that, I want to talk about what happens to you when you're saved, because I think that's important. Because eventually we're going to get into, there are three types of people in the world. Number one, when you are saved, your sins are forgiven. Aren't we thankful for that? Because if God held all of our sins against us, we are all in trouble. There's not one person here that's worthy of heaven. But we give our life to Christ, and the Bible says that your sins will be forgiven, and it will not be held to your account because it is forgiven of you. What's even greater is God actually forgets our sins. As far as the east is from the west, I'll remember your sins no more. Where we as human beings have a hard time forgetting when somebody hurts us. I mean, how many of you can think of someone that hurt you right now if I said, okay, think of someone that hurt you, and you'll remember that. But God, what does God do? He forgets it. He forgets it. And so, when we say, God, I want to follow you, I want Christ in my life, I want to follow Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. So what you did 20 years ago that was horrible is no longer held against you in God's sight. Secondly, we are delivered and enjoy a bright future. Now, many of us come to Christ because we want to go to heaven. Who all wants to go to heaven? Okay. All right, who wants to go to hell? Okay. We don't like the idea of a hell. Therefore, we come to Christ. Most of us come to Christ, not out of love for Christ, but we come to Christ because we don't want to go to hell. Okay, am I being honest? Are we right in that one? Okay, so not only do we have a bright future in heaven, but we also have a bright future here. Oh, yeah. I want you to think about that. When we give our life to Christ and we start following Him, a little bit of heaven on earth comes here. My wife has a saying, for those who are Christian, this life is the closest to hell you'll ever get. For those who are not Christian, this life is the closest to heaven you'll ever get. Isn't that a statement? So, but when we give our life to Christ, we can have joy in this life irregardless of what is happening to us in this life. I've seen people who live in squalor that have more joy than those who live in a mansion. I've seen it. Because their life is centered on Christ. Because when you love someone or something, it doesn't matter, right? Give me an example. Remember the first place you lived with your spouse after you got married. It didn't matter. We were in love, right? So, our first house was built in, I think it was 1885, 1886. It was in a small town called Kunkel, Ohio. Kunkel makes Menden look like it's a metropolitan area. All right. So our house was one of those old farmhouses. We had sheep in the backyard. We had a train track that was less than a block away from us. And the foundation was all cracked. In fact, the one day when we came home from seeing her mom and dad, and we heard, can you hear that? These scratching noises on the door of our basement. And Polly opens up the basement door, and here's this possum looking right at her. Now, she's a city girl, all right? From that day on, I could hide all of her Christmas presents in the basement, and I didn't have to wrap them, because she never went down there. Okay, so here's this possum. We had rats in the house. We had possums in the basement, not upstairs. We kept that door closed after that. So we had rats in the house, we had possums in the house, we had cats in the house, all that went through that foundation. But guess what? It didn't matter. Why? Because we were in love. And that's the same thing with Jesus Christ. When we make him the love of our life, it doesn't matter. Because we're in love. And as I said, I've seen some very joyous people that are some of the poorest people in the area. But they have pure joy in their heart because they have Jesus in the center of their lives. That's a bright future. When we are reborn, we have two births. We have a spiritual birth and a physical birth. All of us are born physically. When you you're born, the baby comes out, you are born physically. But there's also a spiritual rebirth where essentially you can start all over again. Now, you're still going to have some of the scars of the past, don't get me wrong, but you can start all over. In God's eyes, you can start all over, and I'm thankful for that. When I graduated from high school, I absolutely hated high school. Did not like it. I have yet to be back to one high school reunion. No desire. I was the kid that they always picked on. They talk about bullying. I invented to be in the recipient of it. Okay? I didn't invent bullying. I was the opposite side. I had kids that come up and spit on my food. I would be punched out in the side. I mean, that's the way it was. Okay? And then when I finally went to Fort Wayne Bible College, I was thrilled. You know why? Because no one knew me there. And true, the first time I went to Fort Wayne Bible College, I remember going to the admissions department for the tour, and I was wearing platform shoes, plaid pants, wide white buckle, and I can't remember the shirt I wore. I don't think it was plaid. And I remember the admission counselor coming up to me and said, she literally stopped and went, like, what in the world are we getting here? But you know what? I still went there and I had a new beginning. I could start all over. No one knew me. That's the same thing with Jesus Christ. When you give your life to him, you can have a new beginning in him. And I'm thankful for that. So there's two births. And then we're made a child of God. We are part of the family of God now. You know what? I'm not related to you physically here. I don't think there's anyone here that I'm related to physically, but I am related spiritually to every single one of you here. We are the family of God here. And I'm thankful for that. So all these three things happen to us when we become a Christian. Now, there are three areas, or there are three types of Christians that we can turn into. Now, this is where we're going to get a little bit of a little discussion going to go on here, because this is where you get your difference between Calvinism and Arminian a little bit. But I think when we discuss it, we're going to find out that the conclusion is the same. Okay, the first one is victorious Christian. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, I still haven't found my notes yet. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, guess what? You can live a victorious Christian life. Those are the strong Christians. Those that don't care about where you live. You just love Jesus. It doesn't matter what happens to your life. It doesn't matter. You just love Jesus. These are the people that you're going, man, I wish I could be just like them. Those are the ones that have overcome sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the ones that seem to have faith in absolutely everything. That's the victorious Christian. The next one is the carnal Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In Corinthians, I'm finally to my notes. In Corinthians, the entire book of Corinthians in the New Testament was written to the church of Corinth that basically did not know or did not learn or did not care the important fact of once you give your life to Christ, you are a new beginning. You don't emulate the world. In other words, you are different. And so a carnal Christian is one that continues to love self and live in sin and call themselves a Christian. A carnal Christians are those who continually grieve the Holy Spirit by their temper, touchiness, irritability, prayerlessness, love or self. These are the signs of carnality. It's basically a spiritual babyhood. It is self-directed versus Christ-directed. It is a person who is a miserable Christian. And the reason why they're miserable is because they're serving two masters. Self and God, or God and mammon. And the Bible comes right out and says you cannot serve two masters. Because if you do, you're going to love one and hate the other. Here's the question. Do we have carnal Christians in this church? The answer is yes. Because every church has got them. How do I know? I read Facebook and I grieve. I grieve. Not God honor. We might want to serve the world or serve the flesh or serve the devil. We might say, I love God, but yet you see no difference in the lives. That's a carnal Christian. And the danger of carnality is this. Judgment in this world. I'm not talking about losing their salvation. The Bible does talk about those who go through the fire but yet are saved, barely saved. The Bible talks about them. But there is a judgment in this world. You see, God wants to refine you. God wants to mature you. God wants you to turn 100% to Him. And many times, we don't respond to things unless it's painful. Imagine if the county jail had a spa in there. And every time you went to the county jail, there was a masseuse that came in and rubbed all the muscles and put that mud on your face and put the cucumbers on your eyes. And you had a pool there and you had filet mignon every day. Would they change? The answer, of course, no. Instead, what do you have? You should have miserable conditions there. Because it should cause you to want to say, I don't want to live here anymore. So a lot of times pain is used to change us. And so the Bible does talk about handing over to Satan. It talks about maturing somebody and doing church discipline in order for someone to change. It also talks about this, and this is a very hard one. There are times in scriptures that it actually indicates that God takes the life of someone so they don't fall to the point of totally falling away. The danger of carnality is apostasy. What's apostasy? Apostate is somebody who knows the truth yet rejects it. Someone who knows that there is a God, knows that there is a Jesus, knows it is true, and say, I don't want anything to do with it. Now, the Calvinists will say, well, they were never saved to begin with. The Arminian would say, yes, they were saved, but they walked away from God. But the end result's the same. Judas would be considered an apostate. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. And what happened? He sold Jesus. That's being apostate. Ted Turner, in many respects, would be considered apostate. Who's Ted Turner? He founded CNN. He was into the cable news network, very strong. He grew up as a Southern Baptist. And his testimony, his statement basically is this. When I was young, my sister became very ill. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I was a Christian then. And I prayed, and God did not heal my sister, so I'm never going to follow God. He would be considered an apostate. So there are three things that we can be. We can be a victorious Christian. And my hope and joy is that this church... Hey, I don't need it now. Did I leave it back there? Who would have done that? Okay. I see what I did with it. I cleaned everything up and threw it away. Okay. So we are a victorious Christian. We live a victorious life. That's my desire. Every one of us enjoys that. To have the smile on your face of Jesus. There are those who just beam with that. The carnal Christian, my heart is that you become a victorious Christian. Because when you live a life of sin, it produces just misery. And then the apostate is come back to Jesus. Now, there's a lot of questions about that, if you even can. All right. Two thoughts, same conclusion. I already talked about that. Cannot lose your salvation. If you're willing to persist in your sin, you will not. It says you're really not saved. An Arminian would say at some point the Christian walks away from Christ and God. Two thoughts, same conclusion. Let me read some of this to you. I want to read to you out of Revelation chapter 22. Don't turn there. We're still going to get to Hebrews 10. It's still coming. And this is here comes the tough part of the sermon. Okay? Blessed are those who wash their robes so they might have the right of the tree of life and may enter the city by its gates. But outside are dogs. Okay, in the Western society, we like dogs. Most of the world don't like dogs. When I was in Jamaica doing some missionary work down there, they would literally, there's a dog. You know, kind of like you see a groundhog. And so they would try to hit them. Okay, outside are dogs, sorcerers. I can never say that word right. Sorcerers. Whatever, my wife's embarrassed now. Our sorcerer, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. I mean, that's a warning. That says those who are not going to be in the kingdom of God. Now, when you get to that point, I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I don't know. When someone is embroiled in sin and when they come to that point, I don't have the answer. But that should put chills up and down our spine. It really should. Instead of saying, well, the pastor doesn't know. Well, he doesn't know, but it should put chills up and down our spine. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, those are sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, those who, best way to describe effeminate is men who want to be women. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. As were, here's a key word, some of you. Notice the word were in there. I love that word were. You know why? Because it tells me, irregardless of your past, you were there, you are no longer, it is no longer held to your account. Aren't you thankful? Romans chapter 1. God gives a whole, or Paul gives a whole list of indictment against humanity. In Romans chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "And they came filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They were gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful." I'm sure you can find yourself in here somewhere. "Inventing ways of doing evil, they disobeyed their parents." Hey kids, listen to this one. "They disobeyed their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy." I love it where it says, "And so were some of you." Because I'm in there. I know I disobeyed my parents once, twice, three times, four times. "So were some of you." Okay. So, the goal is, and this is the rest of it, I want you to think about victorious Christian life. How can I be a victorious Christian? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10 is talking about the sacrifice for all. But Hebrews chapter 10 is also talking about apostasy, and it's giving a big warning against apostasy. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, I got to find it because I didn't mark it down because it's in my other notes that I can't find. But it talks about verse 26, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is..." Yes, that's is left. That's the apostasy. Okay? All right, let's go through this. How does this apply to us? All right, let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. "Let us draw near to God." See what he wants us to do? Draw near to God. Wives, how many of you like it when your husbands draw near to you? You love it, right? He spends time with me. He's getting to know me. He wants to know more about me. That's the whole dating process, is just drawing near to people, getting to know them and everything else and all this other gooshy stuff. Okay, so let's draw near to God. How do we do that? Prayer, Bible study, desire for fellowship. Okay? When you're drawing near to someone, you get to know them more. How are you going to know more about God if you're not reading His Word? How are you going to know more about God if you're not praying? How are you going to know more about God if you're not part of His family? With a sincere heart and with full assurance, with a say, "I am saved." Assurance of salvation. You like that? Assurance. "I am saved." We are, because the book of Hebrews is talking about and preparing the Hebrew or the church for the persecution that's about to come. I'll talk about this a little bit lately. "That faith brings, having a heart sprinkled with the cleansing us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." You are saved. Whenever the devil wants to bring something up, say, "That's the past. It's gone. God has forgiven me." "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Look at all situations focused on Jesus Christ. Hebrews is referring to the persecution that is to come. Church, hear me on this. In the last 5 years, I've never seen our society take a turn that it has in the last 5 years. I mean, we've seen digression. That's what humanity always does. But I've seen a big turn. So much is the turn that if you stand up for righteousness, regardless what it is, you are going to be maligned and you are going to be destroyed. It isn't an issue of saying you're wrong anymore or that I disagree with you. The whole issue is I want to destroy you. You know that cake guy in Colorado that won the Supreme Court? Remember that? Do you know that the state of Colorado is now harassing him? They are sending people into his bakery again, telling him that he has to bake a cake. Even though he won the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, "Leave him alone." He has just filed a lawsuit against the state of Colorado saying, "Leave me alone." Do you know, next week we're going to have Kingdom Harvest Ministries is going to be here. And Kingdom Harvest Ministries is an after-school program that we're starting in Mercer County, Ohio. We're going to, or not after school, but during school program, during the release time. Kyle is part of that. This week they tried to find insurance that would insure them. They don't have a building. All they needed was liability insurance. They went through all these questions, and they got to one of the last questions. They said, "What is your stance on same-sex marriage? What does this have to do with insurance?" And Kyle said to them on the phone, "We hold to the biblical stance of marriage. We will not insure you." And he said he went to 4 or 5 insurance groups, and they will not insure. It's going to kids. If they do a marriage to two third graders, we'll get in trouble anyway. They ain't going to do any weddings. But because they take that biblical stance, they will not be insured. And we're going to see more and more and more of that. People are losing their jobs over stuff like this. So, in the book of Hebrews, I'm going to say Paul, they think if Paul wrote it, but we're not 100% sure. Says, you need to hold unswervingly to this, even in the midst of persecution. For he who promises faithful, let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Meeting together is essential for your spiritual growth. Why? Because the Bible says so. It is when we meet together that we encourage each other and we spur one another on. One of the first steps towards carnality or apostasy is forsaking the assembling of yourselves to one to another. Church should be one of the first things we think about on Sunday morning, not an afterthought. It should not be one of those things where we're sitting here saying, "Well, you know, I don't have anything to do today. I guess I'll go." If you love Jesus, you're going to want to be with his people. Some in their habit of doing. So the issues we're dealing with here in the Church of America today is the same issues they were dealing with 2,000 years ago, by the way. But we are to encourage one another. When we come to the church, what are we supposed to do? We are to encourage one another. How do we do that? We encourage them. Somebody's going through a rough time, we put our arms around them, we encourage you, hey, you can make it. Secondly is edification, helping you to grow in your spiritual walk. Ministry, giving you an opportunity by which you can minister. And warning. Edification is also warning. Don't go down that path. Don't go down that path. It's going to hurt. Don't do that, but it's going to hurt. So that's what we're called to do as the church. And so the question, we go back to the original question. When does somebody get to that point where they lose their salvation? I don't have the answer. I wish I gave you a 30-minute sermon on I don't have the exact answer. But the answer I do have is you better take it seriously because we don't know the exact time. For the Calvinists, you were never saved to begin with. For the Arminian, you're walking away from God. And so we don't know for sure, but it does tell me if you're walking in sin like that, you better really start thinking about your walk with Jesus Christ. Well, that's offensive. No, it's biblical. How dare you judge? No, I'm just stating what the Bible says. What if I have somebody in my life that's involved with this? Pray. Do you know, I'm closing off with this, so I'm going to get you out on time today. Last week I kept you over, those who were here, I kept you over a half hour. Do you know the altar used to be where people would come and pour their hearts out to God? The altar used to be also where people came to the altar and they would say, "Lord, I'm going to use Polly's example. Polly's not sinning, okay, so don't worry about it. Lord, Polly's sinning. Lord, deliver her from her sin. Lord, make her so miserable." Remember what I said? Pain is usually what turns us. Make her so miserable that she has to come back to you. And they would pray, and they would pray, and they would pray until somebody became so miserable that they came back to Christ. That's not the loving thing to do. Oh, yes, it is. it is a loving thing to do. Because we've developed a society that says, accept my sin or you hate me. And I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about all the sins. Accept my sin or hate me. But yet the Bible says this. What should you be doing if you really love them? You need to be coming to the altar. You need to be praying that they give their life to Jesus. Let's pray. And Father, we come today and I know we got some heavy hearts. But Lord, we do pray that even though we know we got loved ones or whoever are living in the pigsty, as according to the prodigal son, we also know according to that parable as well that the Father is looking and watching and waiting for the son to come home. So Lord, I just pray for all the loved ones here and those who that were it's on our minds right now that have walked away from you. I pray that Lord, that yeah, they go into the pigsty, but they know that they can come home. And I pray, Lord, that they will come home. So that they can live a victorious life in you. And I pray for that in the name of Jesus.